was broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning.
As the center of the cosmos, I will fulfill our Father's will. I will take upon myself completely the whole creation as my inheritance.
This I pledge. As the true soul's son, I will charge bravely forward into the enemy camp, complete with the weapons with which Father has been defeating Satan throughout the course of history.
This I pledge. I am proud of the one sovereignty, proud of the family who is to inherit one tradition, proud of being a laborer of the one will of the heart. I will accomplish my duty and mission. I will fight with my life.
This I pledge.
I'll smile for you today. I'll be happy all day.
Help me to achieve my goals and bring in more recruits.
Father, I repent. I woke up late. I let the sleepy spirits get me. I'm sorry.
Today I'm going to meet a chosen person and bring him to the house.
Today I will work harder for my goals. I will work for Father till I drop.
You left me yesterday. What did I do wrong? Help me, Father. Teach me so that next time I can serve
you better. I promise to be a better child and work for you all day. This I swear. This I pledge.
Snapping Out, a play by Martin Worth, based on a true story by Susan and Anne Swatland, with Jane Wenham as Anne, Leslie Dunlop as Susan, and Jack Watling as Michael Swatland. The year is 1980. Snapping Out.
Dear Mum and Dad, Mark and Chris, sorry I haven't written for a while, but life has been all go. You won't believe it, but Diana and I are still with the friends we met 4 weeks ago, and every day since then has been absolutely fantastic. Perhaps I'd better tell you a little about them so you can see we're in very caring, lovable hands.
When's she coming home, then?
They call themselves Project Volunteer and are located in San Francisco. They also have a project in the country where Diana and I have done so many new activities. Dug ditches, helped make walls.
Make walls?
I can now mix cement most efficiently.
Not bad.
It's all such fun chipping in together.
Lisa must be getting her weight down, all that exercise.
Sue's not overweight.
Oh, she always thinks she is. Has Dad read this letter?
Not yet. He's had some inspector from the council on the farm this morning. Chris, I've done your football boots. Have you finished packing? We should be leaving soon.
You're taking back to school this morning, Mum?
He wants to be there early.
Whatever for?
So he can get a good den before the other boys arrive. Mm. No, your brother. It suits me better anyway. It means I can get to the horticultural show in the village this afternoon.
I wonder what an animal health inspector gets paid to waste a whole morning of someone else's time. I've only just got rid of him.
Well, there's been a letter from Sue, Dad. 5 pages.
Oh, where's she got to now on her travels?
She's still with that commune she wrote to us about last month.
It's amazing the people who are here. Professors, doctors, engineers, teachers. All the people here are so intelligent and interesting. I've been deeply impressed by their idealism.
Oh, she's really into it, isn't she? Well, rather her than me. Dad, can I borrow your blow lamp? I think I can fit that old exhaust after all.
Oh, so long as you wear your helmet.
I'm not riding the bike yet, just building it.
Well, set your hair alight if you want to. Might be an improvement. Oh, but with anything so inflammable as that thatch of yours near a naked flame, I've got my shed to think of. It's in the garage.
Thanks.
Oh, Mark, can you help Chris down with his tuck box?
In a minute.
I thought she was going on to Brockport.
Oh, she won't have time for that now. She's due back at college in 3 weeks.
This week I'm working in the city out on the street selling pictures. It's so rewarding when you make a sale and know that each person buying a picture is helping someone dying of starvation. One man said to me, if there were more people like you around, what a nice place the world would be.
I can't get over them staying in one place so long. There was I worrying about them hitchhiking when for more than a month they haven't moved anywhere.
As you can see, the people here are the best. I'm gaining so much from the experience. I send this letter with all my love. I'm thinking of you so much and wish you were here with me. Much love, Susan.
What do you make of it?
P.S. Mark, I hope the A-levels went well.
Little does she know.
P.P.S. I'd love to hear from you. The address is on the front.
1153 Bush Street, San Francisco.
Who do you think they are? She says nothing about when she's coming home.
Well, she doesn't have to think about that for a couple of weeks yet. You could always send her a telegram and ask her to phone us.
I wouldn't like her to think I was worrying.
Even if you are?
She'll be 21 on Wednesday. Not that she seems to know that. She doesn't even mention her birthday.
Well, why should she? We weren't going to make a big thing of it anyway. I've got 8,000 chicks to move to new dormitories. I'll just go make their beds.
I wonder who could tell us what this Project Volunteer thing really is.
If I were you, I'd just write and tell her how much we're looking forward to having her home and ask her when that will be, right?
She sounds so settled, Michael.
Susan's got her head screwed on the right way, even if it is in the clouds from time to time. You don't ever mean to take that thing on the road, I hope.
She's okay. Runs like a dream. Well, there are bound to be teething troubles.
I've come for my blow lamp that you borrowed 3 days ago.
Oh, sorry, Dad. It's over there.
Have you heard from Nottingham yet?
I'll get into a polytechnic somewhere.
You haven't left it too late.
Well, if I have, I can always take a year off. Go to California, perhaps. Dig ditches, build walls. I'm sure Susan can give me some introductions. You know, Mum's been talking to Mrs. Williams about it.
Diana's mother? When?
This morning. Mrs. Williams has had much the same letter from Diana that we've heard from Susan.
Has she?
Yeah, Mum's in quite a state about it, I think. Dad, you've forgotten the blow lamp.
I'll come back.
Anne? Where were you? I've been looking for you.
In the garage with Mark. What's the matter?
Are you ready for your tea?
Well, now you mention it, I am. What's happened? Mark says you've heard from Diana's mother.
She's as worried as I am. So, I couldn't stand it any longer. I've just made a phone call to the British Consulate in San Francisco.
What?
To find out what Project Volunteer is. You know what they told me? It's run by the Moonies.
Who?
The Unification Church. Susan and Diana have joined the Moonies. Can you believe it?
They're some way-out religious sect, aren't they?
Their leader is Mr. Moon from Korea. I think he's the Messiah.
But Susan wouldn't...
The address that she gave us in Bush Street is one of their houses. The consulate man is quite definite. He says an English schoolmaster has just been out there trying to get some of his boys back. He thinks we should contact him. He's a teacher at Seven Oaks School.
Leave the cups and sit down.
What are we going to do? We might never see her again.
Anne.
It's true. They get hold of girls like Susan, turn them against their parents, make them give up everything. Oh, how can she have been so stupid?
Asking questions like that won't help. Who's this schoolmaster you mentioned? Seven Oaks, that's not far away.
He's called Casey McCann. Apparently, he knows a lot about the Unification Church. What he can do for us now, he's back in England, I don't know.
He can give us some advice. And that's what we're going to need.
The Moonies aren't necessarily the devils they're painted, Mrs. Swatland. And to think so is almost as unwise as to regard them as a bunch of silly cranks. You may well find, in a few years' time, that your daughter's flirtation with them has been a valuable experience for her. A cigarette?
No. No, thanks.
Hope you don't mind if I do. These days a schoolmaster caught smoking is in almost as much trouble as one of his pupils. So, when I'm in my own home, I'm afraid I indulge my disgusting vice quite shamelessly. You come far?
Ashford. My husband's a farmer near there. Chickens.
So, Susan's a farmer's daughter, is she? Does that make her a healthy outdoor extrovert, or just the reverse?
Oh, she's very sporty. She swims a lot and plays tennis and badminton.
She must love all the games they play in the Moonies.
She's training to be a PE teacher. That's why it's so important she's not late back for the beginning of term. She takes a degree next summer.
So, she was enjoying the last of her freedom, was she?
I'm sorry?
Before opting into a society she probably has reservations about anyway.
Well, what makes you say that?
We teach them these days to take a critical look at the world they live in. But when all the exploring is done, we end up telling them to get up there on the motorway with the rest of us. No U-turns, no going back. Exits only where marked.
I've never thought that Susan had any doubts about her career.
She hasn't actually started it yet, has she? So here's a young girl swanning round the States with a pack on her back and a friend and a mind wide open to any new experience going. Does that sound like your daughter?
Very much.
Mm. So someone invites them both to Bush Street. Drop by, have a bite to eat, meet some friends. Then, later in the evening, after some talk about a two-day seminar they're holding at some beautiful place in the country, it's, hey, why not string along with us for the weekend? You'd make us so happy if you would. So, there they are next morning, waking up on this ranch they've got at Boonville, with all these bright-eyed kids around them so brimful of ardor. Let's play volleyball, let's dig ditches, let's give a hand packing food. This is Project Volunteer.
Lovely, friendly people, all working together to try and make the world a better place.
Is that how she described them?
But she never said they were Moonies.
Well, she wouldn't have known to start with. Unless she looked closely at the bit of paper they got her to sign before she went there. It's commitment to Project Volunteer that comes first, larded with lectures on the state of man. The God factor not introduced till the time is ripe. Is Susan religious?
Well, none of us are, really. That's why I find it so hard to understand. From what I've heard, the Moonies think their leader is actually God.
Well, not quite. But they think he's the perfect man, God's lieutenant on Earth. Think what that does for their confidence. There's no arguing with someone who's convinced his employer is the Messiah.
Susan can't possibly be so stupid as to think that.
Maybe they haven't asked her yet. They take their time about that. But if she's already selling pictures for him on the streets, she's well on the way.
So what do we do?
Well, for a start, resist the temptation to go out and bang on their doors. They'd only tell you she's not in. They never are when you call. It's the same when you telephone. They're always bloody out.
It never occurred to me we'd have to go out there and get her. I only wanted to know what it was she got into so I'd know how to persuade her to see sense. She'd be late back for college anyway, I can see that now, but as long as she's not too late...
Mrs. Swatland, I have to tell you that your daughter has something far more exciting to aspire to at present than a degree in physical education.
Selling pictures on the streets?
Selling heaven. She's following a star. And if you insist on bringing her back to Earth too soon, she could float away altogether. My advice to you is accept her commitment at its face value and go craftily to work as they do. Get her confidence and trust. When she tells you it's the Moonies she's with, as she soon will, show interest, not concern. Certainly no alarm or hostility. And work for the day when she asks you out there herself. That will really be a breakthrough.
It doesn't sound as though she's going to need us.
So, constant a reminder of life at home. All the everyday things she misses. Make her see that the Moonies don't have a monopoly of love or even caring about the state of humanity. And, with any luck, she could be home by, next summer?
Next summer?
Try to persuade her that her degree is more important than loving other people. And you play into her hands. In her eyes, you wouldn't deserve to have her home.
Why? I'm not sure that my husband will go along with this.
Well, try to make him understand. Or you might find your letters go unanswered. And whenever you ring, she's just not there.
You mean we just have to sweat it out? Tell her if she rings how thrilled we are. She's having such a wonderful time.
Oh, no, not exactly, but don't make an issue of it. Avoid confrontation, he said.
Oh. Well, I hope it's you that takes the call. I don't think I can be relied on for such iron self-control. Well, at least he's spelled it out for us.
He's putting me in touch with an organisation for people like us.
People like us?
Well, with sons or daughters in things like the Moonies.
People like us used to mean just a family with three bright children and good money coming in and a nice home and no real problems. Now it seems we're in some kind of club.
What's she hoping to get from it, Michael? She wasn't unhappy, was she?
Not that I know of. But then I wouldn't really expect her to confide much in me.
Well, maybe that's why she never did.
None of the children are very confiding. Except Mark. He's home early tonight.
You know, I don't think it helps to go on searching our consciences. If you want to keep on top of this, Anne, you need to have something to do all the time. Getting onto this parents' organisation sounds like the next step.
Well, I already have. They're going to ring me tonight.
Well, that's good, then. The more advice we can get, the better.
Has Jennifer phoned?
I thought you were with her.
Yes, well, I was.
That was Tiff.
Anyone like some coffee?
No, we were just going to bed.
I'll get it. Hello?
Is that Mark?
What kept you? I waited over an hour.
This is Susan, Mark.
Susan? Where are you phoning from?
This family I'm with.
What family? Everyone here thinks you've gone and joined the...
Mark!
Hang on, here's Mum.
Susan? Susan, it's so good to hear you. When are you coming home?
Have you got my last letter?
About Project of All the Volunteers?
The one I wrote afterwards.
You'll probably overtake it on your way back. Did you get my birthday telegram? Everyone's longing to give you your presents. What day are you arriving?
I'll call again next week when you've got my latest letter. I must go now, Mum. Bye.
She's gone.
I didn't recognise her voice to start with.
Nor did I, but I didn't hear much of it. Waiting every day for her to call, and then when she does... It's all over in seconds. She says she'll phone again when we've got another letter she sent us.
Why didn't you ask her about the Moonies?
We've been advised not to, till she brings it up herself.
But we don't even know if it's true yet. Why didn't you have it out with her?
Oh, we'll just have to wait till we see what's in her letter.
I can guess what's in her letter, can't you?
I have to stay on a bit longer so that when I return I can love you all so much more as you deserve. Please don't worry about my education. I could always transfer to a college over here if necessary and get a degree that way. But what I'm doing is so much more important. I've begun to see what was wrong with my attitudes. Just give me a chance to find myself and understand what life is all about.
Is this really Susan?
Can I read it?
Or maybe you'll understand it better than me. What life is all about? I thought that was obvious.
Has Mum read it?
Well, she must have done. I found it open on the kitchen table. Where is she?
Out there in the garden, digging. Look, she's really putting her back into it, isn't she?
Yes, as if every clod she's throwing up with a spade is a damn moon. Groom Farm. Oh, hang on, Mrs. Williams. Mark, go and tell your mother. It's Diana's mother on the phone.
Oh, right.
Oh, she's just coming. She's out in the garden. What did you say?
Mark said Mrs. Williams was on the phone.
Yes, but she was in a hurry. It was just to tell us that she's had a phone call from Diana.
Say what? Did she give any news of Susan? Well, what did she tell you?
Diana has got out of the Moonies and is on her way home. Her parents are driving down from Wales to meet her at Heathrow.
And Susan?
Susan is still there. Diana parted from her weeks ago.
Remember that whatever they've been made to believe, they believe it most sincerely. So above all else, keep open your lines of communication. Show your sincerity.
Thank you, Julia. Before we take our break, may I, from the chair, introduce Mrs. Swatland, whose daughter has recently got into the Moonies. Any help any of you can give her, I'm sure she will value. Everyone here, Mrs. Swatland, has someone close to them who has joined one of the cults. Now, I see our coffee and biscuits are ready at the back of the room, if you care to help yourselves.
Excuse me, Mrs. Swatland.
Yes?
May I ask, do you speak to your daughter?
We do now. She telephones quite regularly. I should be grateful for that, I suppose. Julia has been giving me a lot of advice about how to talk to her.
Ask her if she's ever come across Bobby Exton, will you? Or to keep a lookout for him. I've got his photograph here.
I thought your Bobby was with the Children of God, Mrs. Exton.
Oh, he could be with the Moonies now, Julia. It could be anywhere now, for all I know.
She hasn't heard from her son for over a year. Have you talked to your daughter's friend Diana yet?
Diana's not talking about her experience to anyone, not even to me about Susan. It seems whenever her mother presses her on it, she gets angry, goes to her room, and prays.
It's understandable, with all the guilt she feels at what she's done.
She needn't feel guilty now. She's come home.
Well, that's why she feels guilty. The Moonies believe that if they give their whole lives to the service of their Heavenly Father, they will not only redeem themselves, but their parents too. Indeed, the souls of all their ancestors. So by leaving the church, they not only condemn themselves...
Sure, my doctor can't believe such nonsense. Susan?
If you've been brainwashed, Mrs. Swatland, you can be made to believe anything.
Brainwashed?
To get people to believe what you want them to believe is not difficult if you know how. The techniques are classic. They are used in almost all the cults.
Are you saying Susan has been mentally tortured?
Of course not. But they can work on their minds in other ways. Have you seen my sleeping pills? They should be here by the bed.
You're becoming too dependent on those things.
I certainly won't sleep tonight without them. Classic techniques, he said. Well, at least it's an explanation. Have you read all that literature I gave you?
I've done my best.
It's what Susan has been made to believe. She thinks God sends someone at regular intervals. The last one was Jesus Christ. He was doing well till he went and got crucified. So now we've been sent Mr. Moon from Korea. Susan believes that. She has to have had her mind manipulated.
Mom, it's Susan!
Oh, Michael, I'm not up to it tonight. I just couldn't.
She's just coming, Mark. Keep her talking.
Why don't you ever talk to her?
Because it's you and Mark she connects with best. Between you, you're making her more homesick every time she phones.
Even if I were a communist, it's not such a crazy idea as what you believe in.
Oh, Mark, I pray for you every night. I wish you'd come over here.
Me? Anyway, I'm at Nottingham Pulley now.
That's not important.
Mum and Dad might come if you ask them.
They'd be so negative.
No, they wouldn't. Look, here's Mum now.
Susan?
I was trying to persuade Mark to come out here.
Oh, my dear, I'm sure he'd love to, but he's got so much going for him at the moment. You were lucky to catch him when you phoned. He's only back for one night. Did he tell you we went to see Chris on Sunday?
I wish Chris would write.
Oh, I expect he will. But you know Chris just hates writing letters. Well, that reminds me. Your friend Barbara from college is going to write to you. Send you all the gossip, she says. She often rings up to know how you are. Like all your friends.
How's Dad?
No, as busy as ever. The fans broke down in one of the chicken houses the other night.
What, again?
Yes.
They're always playing up.
Would you like to speak to him? He's only in the bedroom.
I do want to see you both, Mum.
Oh, we want to see you too, you know that.
Why don't you come out here?
To San Francisco?
Oh, it'd be marvellous if you could. You could see for yourself how important our work here is. You could meet all my friends. I'd take you everywhere. Can you?
Well... we'd have to talk it over, of course. There's the expense.
You can afford it. And Dad can leave the farm in October. Fix a date, and when I ring you on Sunday, you can tell me when it is. Will you?
All right, darling.
Oh, that's great. Really great. I'll call you on Sunday night. Bye.
She wants us to go out there. She's asked us to. At last.
Well, I have been working on it for you.
Michael, we're going to San Francisco. She wants to see us.
Congratulations. You've obviously been taking my advice.
I can't get over it. We'll actually be seeing her on Friday.
Don't expect miracles, will you?
I don't expect her to come back with us, Mr. McCann, if that's what you mean. But I wouldn't be her mother if I didn't hope she might.
Yes. Look, I'll give you some introductions out there. Neil Maxwell is one. You'll need his help if they're not going to run rings round you. He's the wisest counsellor you're ever likely to meet.
Would you say that she's been brainwashed?
Oh, no. You start thinking that, and you'll either become so hostile you'll lose all credibility with your daughter, or you'll simply despair and give up. And either way, you lose.
But if somehow they have taken over her mind...
You're getting through to her, or she wouldn't have asked you out there. Stick with that. Think. You're actually going to see her. That's what matters. Oh, excuse me. McCann?
Michael Swatland here. Is my wife with you?
I'll put you on to her. It's your husband.
Wait. Oh. I'd like to talk to you first.
Huh?
Our daughter's just phoned to say she doesn't want to see us after all. I'm afraid I blew my top. I said we were coming anyway.
What did she say to that?
That's Susan fine.
She said she just wouldn't be there and hung up.
Well, you can't see her if they won't let you.
Won't let us?
So I hoped you might be able to pull some strings for us. Because we are going out there. If I have to break down their doors to see her.
I'll do what I can, but I'm not promising anything.
Thank you.
They're trying to stop her seeing us.
Well, at least that shows they're not really sure of her yet. And that's good news for you. Look, I'll get on to their church here in England. They want academics to attend their international conference on the unity of sciences, you know. So they'd better not be seen preventing youngsters like Susan completing their education. I'll make them see that. They know I've got a bit of pull in the academic world.
All right. Can we do it?
Yeah.
Will we do it?
Yeah.
Make $1,000 for Father tomorrow?
Yeah.
Hey, is that Johnny's team back? Sounds like they had a good day.
Yeah, tell Susan I want to see her right away, Brenna. In my office.
Hey, Susan, Noah wants you.
Oh, we've done really great actionizing, Brenna. Father's been guiding our footsteps all day long.
Inspired? We were truly inspired.
He knew just where the chosen could be found.
Yeah.
He even tipped me off what to do with a guy more interested in me than what I was selling. Give him a bit of a come on. So I did. And guess what? He's coming to Bush Street tomorrow night.
All right. Right.
Come
into
the office. You too, Johnny.
Coming, Noah.
Hey, come on.
We pulled in $900 today, Noah.
Now, however hard we all work, it can never be enough to repay Father. Come in. Close the door. Susan, your parents have gotten on to our brothers and sisters in London. They've promised them they can see you if they come out here.
My parents? But you said I wasn't spiritually ready for that yet.
That's right. So Johnny's going to stick by your side all the time. And Satan works through parents, Susan. They're his strongest weapon.
I told them I wouldn't be here if they came. I phoned them back. I'm sure they won't come.
They arrived last night.
Mom and Dad?
They're staying at a hotel on the wharf. They left a message here this morning.
They won't make me come home if I don't want to.
Physical parents are capable of anything. They belong to the fallen world, Sue.
They've only come to see me. I asked them to. I want them to go home so proud of what I'm doing here.
Noah thinks they may have had contact with Neil Maxwell. That's the guy who counsels parents against what they call the cults. I guess he's not the worst of Satan's agents. He doesn't go along with kidnapping, but even so...
My parents don't mean me any harm.
I thought that of mine.
Yours?
Just come to see me? Sure, I trusted them. Then wham, whipped off the sidewalk by a couple of heavies. Then the next thing, I'm in this hotel room with Dad looking on while this guy leers down at me trying to deprogram me. They'd have got me, too, if Father hadn't given me the strength and opportunity to escape. I've never seen my parents since.
If I were caught by a deprogrammer, I think I'd kill myself.
If they can't escape, that's exactly what brothers and sisters should do. It's what Father expects. Here's the hotel. We'll get their room number without letting on who we are. Then walk in and surprise them. If they look shifty, you can bet they've got deprogrammers lurking around somewhere.
What time did Mr. Maxwell say he'd come?
Oh, around 8. Any minute now.
It could be awkward if Susan walks in when he's here.
Oh, they'd call up from reception as soon as you ask for our room number. Maxwell would have time to slip away.
If the Moonies knew we'd asked him to meet us, they'd keep Sue away from us altogether.
Well, they're not making a bad job of that as it is. Not a word from her all day.
Do you think we should phone Bush Street again?
I'll leave another message.
Well, at least find out if she got the last one. She might not even know we're here yet.
Perhaps they don't mean her to know.
But they gave us their word in London we could see her.
But I wonder what that counts for here. Anyway, there's a limit to how long I'm prepared to sit around in an hotel room waiting to know if we're to be granted an audience with our own daughter. Oh. Come in.
Sue!
What's the matter? You look so startled.
Well, I should think so, after all this time.
We asked reception not to ring you. I wanted to make it a surprise.
Oh.
Were you expecting someone else?
Someone else?
This is Johnny, Dad, a friend of mine. Mum?
Oh, Susan, darling. Oh, my goodness. You've changed.
I'm all right, Mum.
We'd almost given you up for today.
I only learned you were here an hour ago.
But we left a message at Bush Street first thing this morning.
We get up early in the church, ma'am.
We've been out working all day. We've only just got back. Well, how are you? Did you have a nice flight?
What made you pick this hotel? Was it recommended by someone?
Yes.
You have friends in San Francisco?
Only Susan.
Is that true?
Well, who else should we know?
The hotel was recommended at the airport.
It's nice. That's a lovely view of the bay you've got.
Yes, but it begins to pour when you've seen as much of it today as we have.
Is that the bedroom through there?
Yes.
Is there a bathroom too?
Through there, darling, if that's what you want.
Thank you for bringing her here, Johnny. I hope we meet you again during our stay.
I guess so.
Is Bush Street far? We asked them to find us a decent hotel somewhere near.
So, it's not far.
Well, then we'll easily get Susan back there in time for a good night's sleep. She looks as if she could do with it.
Johnny and I can only stay a few minutes, Dad.
Oh, no, surely, darling. You can
We just
stay.
Looked in to see you were all right and say hello. How long are you staying?
Only till Tuesday.
Then we've got 3 whole days together. There's so much I want to show you.
Shall I get that for you?
Oh, no. Hello? Yes. Well, could you tell him I've got my daughter with me now, and maybe he could leave what he's brought at the desk, and I'll call to thank him later. Yeah, I'm sure he'll understand. Thank you.
You said you knew no one in the city.
Oh, it's just someone we met on the plane. We told him this was our first visit here, so he offered to drop round some tourist literature. Now, let's all go out for a bite to eat. I'm sure you know somewhere good around here. Your mother and I have been shut up in here so long...
I told you, Dad, we can't stay. We eat at home and they'll all be waiting for us there.
We've put in a bit of waiting ourselves, Sue.
We'll meet up tomorrow, Dad. There's a place just round the corner in Mason Street. Eddie's Fish Bar. I'll be there at 1.
Not till 1?
We have to work in the morning, Mum. But we'll have all afternoon and the weekend, too. It's lovely to see you. Really great. Come on, Johnny.
Ciao.
Bye. Right, then. She'll meet us for lunch, if she's not too busy.
Was that Neil Maxwell on the phone?
Reception. DeSabre's here. It's lucky they didn't let him in unannounced. They might have felt justified in searching the place.
What are we going to do, Michael?
Get out of this hotel for a start. Get some fresh air.
I hardly have recognized her. Eat at home. Home, she calls it. She doesn't look as if she'd had a square meal in months, and those awful clothes. What have they done to her?
Well, at least we've seen her. It's a start. And now that they've checked us out, maybe tomorrow they'll trust her alone with us. Oh, come on, let's go.
You're sure we've got the right place?
It is Fish Bar, and it's 1:20.
I suppose it's something that we saw Neil Maxwell this morning.
And remember what he said. Never rely on them, but always make sure they can rely on you. I must say, it sticks in the gullet. There's nothing for it. Short of calling this Joe Alexander in Arizona we've heard so much about. Or that friend of his here, Harry Bidulph.
We'd never see Susan for dust if we were to contact a known D programmer.
They wouldn't have to know we contacted him.
Have you got his address?
No, Maxwell gave it to me. If all else fails.
Michael.
Yeah?
Here she is now. Oh,
with bodyguard.
Oh, Susan, we wondered. We wondered what had happened
to you.
We
found it anyway. That's good. Sorry we're late, but are you hungry? Johnny and I have planned such an exciting program for you both this afternoon, and if we're not to get behind schedule, what do you say we skip lunch?
Huh? Well, we had a big breakfast.
Yes, we've plenty of time for it.
So, let's hit it, okay? The car's just around the block.
Well, if you promise to have dinner with us tonight, Susan.
Oh, sure, that's all laid on.
Well, laid on?
At Bush Street, it's open house there tonight.
Oh.
I'm and on our own with you.
Darling, we do want to be alone with you for a little.
There's plenty of time for that, but you must want to come and see Bush Street, surely.
Really?
Everyone there's just dying to meet you, and you'll be able to hear Noah's lecture. You'll find it so interesting. Come on.
So what did these blind men think the elephant was? Well, the one hanging onto his tail was convinced it was a rope. And the one with his arms round one of the legs thought the elephant was a tree. And the one who just had a squirt of water down the trunk he was holding thought the elephant was a hosepipe.
At least they're decently dressed.
Now,
tonight.
If only those blind men box. Could be persuaded.
They're on show. Understand. Look at those well-scrubbed faces. Those so fixed smiles.
Dad.
So different. And their eyes. They don't even blink.
Dad, you're missing the lecture.
So exclusively. You understand? So, you know, as individuals, we're just like those blind men. But you get us together, and we can share in a wider vision. Escape from our own limited points of view. Enlarge our understanding. And as sure as I'm standing here, eventually we comprehend the whole truth. Right. So that's what we're in business to bring about right. through our many-sided community activities, to make the blind see.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. I've heard that lecture 5 times now, and I always get something new from it.
Well, I don't know about you folks, but I found my mind just expanding in all directions in its eagerness to encompass some of those exciting ideas.
That's Alice.
Let's have a break now so we can give ourselves a chance to get to grips with some of them.
Okay. Susan, your guest's here.
Who?
Well, you know, from yesterday. Over there in the yellow T-shirt with Brennan.
Oh, great. Excuse me, Mom.
Darling.
You must be so proud of Susan, Mrs. Swartland.
Well,
we all love her so much. We couldn't do without her.
No, we can't do without her at home either. That's the problem.
Yes, we've been giving a lot of thought to that. And we have a solution. Wait here. I'll be right back.
Gary, it makes me so happy to see you. I've been thinking about you ever since we met.
Really?
I was afraid you mightn't come.
Why did I have to take my shoes off?
Oh, we all do that.
It saves wear on the carpet.
Besides, isn't it good to feel the ground under your toes?
Yeah,
Brenna,
yeah.
This is Gary.
Susan told us so much about you. It's great you could come. Where are you from?
Connecticut.
Hey, get that.
Brenna's from New York. Hey, that's a real cute T-shirt you're wearing. Come and meet the rest of the crowd.
I suppose that's how Susan got drawn in. I'd like to tell them what they're letting themselves in for.
For goodness sake, don't.
Sorry I cut out, but I went to fetch these leaflets about the church in England. Once you get to know our brothers and sisters over there, they'll give you such a warm welcome, you won't feel Susan is lost to you at all. I'll have someone call you over there.
Why don't you tell these youngsters who just drop in that you're really the Moonies?
Oh, here's Susan back. Excuse me, won't you? I'd like to have time to answer your question, but right now I have to make an announcement.
If you'd known I was going to make contact with the Unification Church, Dad, wouldn't you have warned me against it?
Perhaps.
So isn't it lucky I didn't know who they were when I came here? I'd have kept clear and just look at what I'd have missed out on.
Hey, now gather round, everybody. We've got a fascinating presentation to show you about a forum we have in the country where we can promise you the most remarkable 2 days of your life. You'll see from the pictures what a great place it is. That farm, why, everyone there is so happy that even the cows smile.
Even the cows smile. With the same fixed grins they wear themselves, do you think?
This isn't our floor. You must have pushed the wrong button.
Oh. Time to pretend to go along with it that sickens me.
I wouldn't say your pretending was all that convincing.
If I'd let them see what was really going on inside me...
That's just what they want you to do. Show your hostility. So that Susan can see for herself that as bad as all parents are in their eyes. Creatures of Satan.
And if you're ready to convince her otherwise and keep her love simple, just join the church in England, brother. I could have hit her.
Key.
What?
You've got the key.
Oh. I have a feeling we may have to see this Harry Bidulph yet. At least find out what having her deprogrammed, or what they call it, really means.
Perhaps tomorrow we shall be able to talk to her properly.
At this camp she insists on taking us to? Well, look what happened today. That warehouse and art gallery this afternoon, that charade at Bush Street tonight. Not once was she even prepared to be alone with us. Well, what did she get out of it?
Well... whatever it is, it's something she must have had a need for, I suppose.
Mm. Is it the camaraderie she goes in for? The mutual admiration bit, all that hugging each other?
It's a long time since she's had much hugging from us. Not since she was a child. Perhaps not very much then.
But she's not a child anymore. She's grown up, or supposed to be.
Heavenly children is what they call themselves. And Moon is their father.
I've got my work cut out if I'm to compete with him, haven't I? A messiah who's also a millionaire.
All I ask is just a couple of hours with her. Not to talk her out of it, just to talk. Chat about ordinary, silly little things. Without being hustled. If tomorrow's anything like today, I don't think I can take it.
There's one thing we can do to spite that. Take Neil Maxwell's advice and get on our own wheels, as he put it.
Hire a car.
Yes, so we don't have to be carted around by them. So, if we have to visit this cab of theirs, we can go there when we choose, and above all, leave when we choose. Yes, that quite cheers me up. At least, it'll show Susan we value our own freedom anyway.
I knew you'd be late if you had to find your own way. Why couldn't you let us bring you?
That man on the gate, Sue. He practically frisked us before letting us in.
Hello, darling. Everything all right?
Hello, Mum. Well, you can't just let anyone in.
Or anyone out.
Oh, Dad, you're so negative.
It's good to see you again.
It was the same last night. You weren't paying any attention to that lecture at all.
We haven't come 5,000 miles just to listen to lecture, Susan. We've come to see you. So far, we haven't had a minute alone with you.
I'm alone with you now.
For how long? I see that buddy of yours heading towards us right now.
Susan, what are they doing over there, sitting around in that circle?
They're new arrivals, sharing.
Sharing? Sharing what?
Any personal, deep experiences from the past they can remember. We do it a lot the first week, so you can really get to know one another.
Exchange your innermost secrets.
It brings us all so close together.
I dare say.
Hi. So, you finally made it.
Oh.
We were getting kind of anxious. Dr. John is about to start his lecture.
Oh, come on, Mum, or you'll miss the beginning.
Oh, all right, darling.
You really enjoy this, Mr. Swatland. He's terrific.
Are you a college boy, Johnny?
I was. I'm a trained lawyer now.
Oh. A lawyer who runs about the street selling pictures?
The church needs lawyers, too, Mr. Swatland.
Yes, well, I can believe that, all right.
Can we move it a bit? It's quite a way to the lecture hut.
If you're worried about Susan and her mother going on ahead without you, I think Susan's talking too much to give my wife a chance to ask any pertinent questions.
Can't you at least spend tomorrow with us? It's our last day.
Have you been meeting deprogrammers, Mum?
With what?
Guys like Joe Alexander or Harry Bidulph. Thugs that some parents hire to kidnap their children and torture them.
How can you possibly think we'd let anyone torture you, darling?
You promise?
Of course I promise.
All right, then, I'll spend tomorrow with you.
Alone?
If you like, yes. You'll be really impressed by Dr. John.
I'm not very good at lectures, Susan.
You must try. If you don't understand the lectures, the whole point of your trip will be wasted. Here we are.
The whole point? To understand lectures?
If you want to understand me now. Yes, Mum.
My name's Swatland. I was given your number by Neil Maxwell. This is Harry Bidulph, is it?
I was told you might call. I'm only sorry you've had to. Where are you?
At an hotel on Fisherman's Wharf. My wife's downstairs at the moment, waiting for our daughter, who's agreed to spend a day with us at last. My wife doesn't know I'm calling you. She still hopes it won't be necessary.
But, Susan, you promised we could have our last day together.
I know, Mum, but something's come up.
We'd better be moving soon.
And alone, you said.
What would we do anyway? Just sit around in a hotel room?
Or go out? We might even do some shopping together. You could certainly do with a new jumper. Where did you get that from? It's miles too big for you anyway.
Oh, Mum, don't you think feeding the poor is a bit more important than clothes?
Sue, we gotta make tracks.
Look, let's have lunch. You can find your way to Bush Street. I'll be there at one.
If you time for lunch, you can have it here with us. Now, just get into a cab. I'll pay.
Okay, I'll do that.
1 o'clock.
Bye.
Here. You promise?
1 o'clock.
Oh, there you are. No sign of her yet.
She's been and gone.
What?
To feed the poor. Well, you can't beat that, can you?
Right. That does it. Anne,
I've just phoned Harry Bidulph. He's meeting me on the pier at 11:30. Now you'll be able to come too.
No.
What alternative is there now?
I just mean I'm not up to seeing anyone at the moment. Now, can't you go on your own? Besides, Sue will be coming back at once. I'm going up to our room. Hello?
What happened, Mum? It's 6 o'clock.
I know it's 6 o'clock.
You were coming to Bush Street for lunch.
No, Susan. The arrangement was that you were coming here to the hotel. I've waited all day for you.
What time's your plane tomorrow?
We have to be at the airport at 8.
Well, Bush Street's not far out of your way. Can you look in to say goodbye?
Anne, it's all fixed now.
We'll call in on the way to the airport. Good night, darling.
Sleep well, Mum. Bye.
I didn't intend to be out so long, but I even had a talk with Joe Alexander on the phone. You won't believe it, but they've got a waiting list. There are 5 of them they've promised to get out first. 5 sets of parents, all as desperate as we are. Anne, it's going to be all right. These people are professionals and dedicated, really dedicated. It'll be some time before they can do it, but do it they will. And there's no need to worry anymore. Joe Alexander will get Susan back for us. The real Susan, the one we lost. That's a promise. He said, tell your wife she'll be coming home.
So we go back without her then.
What happens if Susan phones while you're away? Won't she get suspicious if neither of you is here?
That's why only one of us is going back there. Her mother.
Mum?
She's determined to.
Would you feel this way if Susan had gone into a nunnery?
No. Before a nun takes her vows, she's given every opportunity to have second thoughts. Your sister wasn't told what she was letting herself in for till they got her. All right, Mark, switch it off, will you? There's enough grub for them. Now, you're not the only one to have doubts. I'm sure Casey McCann wouldn't approve. To get her out by force is kidnapping, even if she is her own daughter. And if anything goes wrong and she gets back to Bush Street, well, we might never hear from her again.
That's true. As it is, she's always phoning you.
Every week. But she's no nearer coming back. Keep talking, they say. Keep that bridge open. For what? It's only Joe Alexander who keeps us going now. Haven't you noticed that packed suitcase your mother keeps by her bed? It's that that lets her sleep at night. Oh, let's leave the chicks to their dinner and see if your mother's back so we can have ours.
Hi, Mum.
Mark, this is a surprise.
I've just come home for the weekend. Dad says you're off to San Francisco.
Yes. Well, it's such an opportunity. One of the Mooney's top brass... Dr. Durst is addressing a big meeting there on Thursday, and Joe Alexander thinks they'll be so preoccupied with that that they could be caught off guard. He's going to ring tonight to tell us if he's made the arrangements.
He already has rung, Anne, just before Mark arrived. Everything's fixed.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, what did you say?
That you'd packed your bag a month ago.
Oh.
He'll meet you at the airport.
Last call for BA Flight 216 to Vancouver, boarding at gate number 17.
Ah, she'll find me. I told her what I'd be wearing.
They'll be calling my flight, Joe.
Huh?
I have to check in. Now, you promise you'll call me just as soon as you're all safe at Walnut Creek.
Now, you know I could do with your help at Walnut Creek, Esther.
My help comes in at the rehab center afterwards. You don't need me for the deprogramming.
Oh, you like to bet I always need you. And if you're flying up again next week to see Neil, well, that's just about when we'll be there, if it all works out okay.
It had better work out. I don't want you in any trouble. Excuse me. Is it Joe Alexander?
Mrs. Swetland?
Yes?
Oh, hi there. Good to see you. This is my wife, Esther.
First call for Interstate Flight 317 to Phoenix, Arizona, boarding at gate number 22.
Interstate flight 317.
It's hello and goodbye from me for a while, Mrs. Watson. I'm just catching a plane home. But I'll see you again pretty soon. With your daughter.
At Walnut Creek.
Okay, sweetheart. Walnut Creek on Monday. Goodbye. Take care of the big ape for me, won't you, Mrs. Swatland? He needs handling.
Oh. Well, did I tell you about Esther's rehab center?
Yes, but I never dared look that far ahead.
Well, it's not so far off now. Now, we're using Harry Bidoff's place in Page Street as a base, just till we make the pickup. After that, we've got a nice little secluded place lined up out at Walnut Creek. We're planning on getting out another girl at the same time, Brenna Steinberg. You'll meet her parents at Page Street. Here now, let me have those cases.
Oh, thank you. Brenna's often mentioned yours, Susan. I guess they're pretty close.
I think I met Brenna at Bush Street in October, Mrs. Steinberg.
Oh, how did she look? I haven't seen her in months. My husband caught sight of her this afternoon when he was out with Harry, but I wasn't with them.
Yeah, what was she doing, Harry?
Oh, handing out leaflets about Durst's speech tomorrow night. Mm. We tailed her back to the Beehive.
Beehive is our code word for Bush Street, Miss Swatland. Oh. We use CB radios for a pickup, and on the Citizens Band, even the Moonies can be listening in. Oh, here's Chris. Chris Carlson, meet Ann Swatland. She's Susan's mother. Chris is working closely with Harry on the deprogramming side. He was a Mooney himself once till his daddy got onto me, and for some damn reason he wanted this little SOB home.
Yeah, he's pretty good with that line of talk, Mrs. Swatland. I guess that's what makes him one hell of a deprogrammer.
Well, you're no slouch yourself, Chris. Miss Swatland, Chris is the man who's going to bring your daughter back to you, and soon.
Noah, where's Noah?
What's happened?
Brenna. Someone snatched Brenna.
Oh.
We were walking on Taylor Street. This van drew up.
Did you get the number?
The what?
The number, Gary. The number of the van.
Look, I was trying to get her out of there, wasn't I? I didn't have time to look at numbers.
Take the car and go see if Noah's up at Hurst Street.
Right.
I'll try the theater where Dr. Durst is speaking. Well, they would choose today.
If there's truly a God in heaven, I said, let me see Brenna. And suddenly there she was.
I'm so glad for you.
Coming around the corner with this boy in a green anorak, we radioed my husband and Harry Bidoff in the other car, and they picked her up 5 minutes later.
They came back to us on the radio. Subject secure.
Oh, shall I get it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello? Oh, honey, is everything okay? How is she? Yeah. You're at Walnut Creek? Oh, okay, now look, I've just come back here to pack a bag and we're leaving now.
Will you come with us, Anne? This place is
going to
be pretty hot from now on.
Will there be room for me at Walnut Creek?
Oh, sure. The Steinbergs are going to stay at a motel. And on Sunday night, we'll start getting it together to snatch Susan.
But the Moonies will be on their guard after this, I suppose.
No, not necessarily. You see, the last thing they're going to figure on is another rescue within days of the first. So this will help us to get Susan out.
Well, if you say so.
Now, I plan to have two good guys working with me, Morris and Wayne. You'll be meeting the man. Between us, we'll get her for you.
Come on, Sue. Move it. We're late.
Susan, come on there. We're all waiting for you.
I'll be no use witnessing today. I can't get Brenna out of my mind.
Get in, Sue. Shut that door. We've got work to do.
Sparrowhawk to Eagle. Subject now in transit, leaving Beehive.
Heading towards Jones, over.
Hey, there it is. Eagle to Sparrowhawk. We're on its tail. Out.
Is he really sure that Susan's in that van?
Yeah, I guess he knows what your daughter looks like by now, Anne. Looks like they're heading for the wharf.
That's not good for us.
Hey, that's not the way to the wharf.
You just shut the lights.
Yeah, so I'm colorblind today, Wade.
Hey, they gotta stop pulling, Chris.
They're dropping someone here.
Isn't there an art gallery somewhere near here? I seem to remember.
Oh, boy, somebody up there likes us today. There she is. It's her.
Someone else is getting out, too.
Okay, I'll be right behind them on foot with the radio, Chris. Stay tuned.
Okay, Wayne. Now, we're going to have to pass the man. So, for God's sake, resist the temptation to look at her. If she's going to see anything, let it be the back of that hat,
yes,
okay?
Yes, all right.
All right.
passing them right now. Hey, Chris, they stopped.
Right, okay, we'll go around the block.
They stopped? What does that mean?
Just relax, Anne. Wayne will fill us in.
He'll stay right behind them with the walkie-talkie. Come in, Vulture. Over.
Looks like they're going to split up. Yes, one of the bees is making off towards Larkin.
Which one, Susan?
Ours has slipped into the drugstore. Come round the block. You'll have to double park. Out.
All right, Anne. Now, when we make the snatch, Morris will open the door and Wayne will throw her in from the sidewalk. Now, that's when you make her see you. The shock will help get her aboard, okay?
Excuse me, miss. Could you direct me to Union Square? I'm afraid I'm not too familiar with your city.
Why? Where are you going?
Another world to you, Susan.
All right, get her. I got her.
Help me, someone! I'm here!
Her foot! Go on, never
quickly.
Mind!
Quickly!
Wayne, get on top!
Susan! Susan!
We can get your foot in here to get hurt! Come on, we gotta close the door!
Come on, move it! Move it!
Watch her!
I got it!
All right, now, Susan! Now relax, Susan, relax. It's all right, your mother's here.
Mom! I'm sorry, darling. We had no other choice, really. We did.
Hey, cool.
Let me out of here. Darling, save me, Father. Save me from Satan. Protect me from my evil mother. Susan, I love you.
They said you were the same as all the others, but I didn't believe them.
Not you. How could you? You promised me. You promised.
Now, all I'm trying to do, Brenna, is to get that mind of yours defrosted. That's all deprogramming is about, just getting you to think.
We've seen film on what deprogrammers do.
But, and who makes those films, Missy? The deprogrammers? Come on now, think.
Honey, Joe and Harry and the others have been with you for 4 days now. Has any one of them even touched you?
I'll bet if you weren't around.
I'm not around at nights. You even let me sleep at the motel with your father now. Brenna, you know you can trust them.
Joe.
Yeah?
News from the bee catchers.
Okay. Now you can lie to me if you like, Brenna. You can even lie to your mama. But don't you lie to yourself. That's just crazy.
They picked up the Swatlip girl.
Already?
Yeah. She's at the motel. Well,
did they get there clean?
Chris thinks so. He's just taking the car back.
All right. Now tell him to start deprogramming over there. Brenna's on her way, but she's not out yet.
You drink it first.
A glass of water?
You think it's drugged?
We know what deprogrammers do.
Susan.
I'm going across to the takeaway. Any orders for supper?
Darling,
I'm not hungry.
French fries and chicken okay for you, Anne?
Yes, of course.
When did you last eat, Susan?
Skip it, Morris. You know they never want to eat their first night.
I'll have a salad.
Coming right up, Sue. She'll have a salad, Wayne.
Okay.
That sounds sensible. How could you get involved with such evil men?
Sue, I've been with them for over a week. They're good men. Kind men.
Promise you won't leave me alone with them.
I'm going to sleep right here beside you. I'll always be with you.
You've made such a mistake, Mum. You're going to be really hurt by this. Really hurt.
Wayne, was there anything on the news?
Nope, and we've checked every bulletin.
Good.
She's asleep.
Oh, good, she needs it. It looks like you do, too, right now.
I'm afraid I foolishly left my suitcase with all my things in it at Bay Street this morning. I thought it would be tempting Providence to bring it with me.
Oh, if I'd known, I could have picked it up. I've just been back there.
Are you crazy? Hey, Chris, that place could be really buzzing by now.
Oh, it's not. I looked in to check when I took the car back. No one's been near it.
How do you know?
I left a friend of mine there. I've told her where we are, in case your husband calls. But she's very discreet. She won't tell anyone else.
Yeah?
It's Mrs. Steinberg. Could I talk to Anne?
Okay. Mrs. Steinberg, for you, Anne.
Oh. Hello?
Hi. I've just heard the great news. Why don't you drop by on us, room 42?
Well, I promised Susan I wouldn't leave her. She's asleep at the moment, but if she woke up...
Ask her if she can lend you a toothbrush or something.
Hello?
No, sorry. Morris was asking me if you could lend me a toothbrush. I've got nothing with me.
No.
I was only joking. There's nothing I need, really. Not now. Thank you. Thank you so much. I've got all I could possibly want now.
It's not over yet, Anne. We've still got to win her back.
Heavenly Father, save me from Satan. In true parent's name, I pray.
You'll have to quit the chanting eventually, Susan.
Heavenly Father, save me from Satan. Finish your breakfast, darling. I don't want it.
Then at least listen
bless
to Chris.
Bless our true parents' success in their mission. Bless our
Heavenly
true
Father,
parents.
Here
bless
we are, gathered under the heavenly star, the divine principle we want to see. So make us in your image, please. You see, Susan, I know the chants, too. I ran through them enough times.
You?
Hey, Susan, has Patsy learned to play her guitar yet without breaking a string when she gets carried away? I often think of you guys.
Patsy would have wept when you went back to the fallen world. But to try and get me into Satan's clutches, too... You really went to the pits this time, Mum.
Susan.
No, I know how she feels, Anne. I felt just as mad about the ex-Mooney brought in to deprogram me. Till I came to kind of like the guy.
At least Judas went and hanged himself. Liked him.
Yes, because of what we'd both been caught up in once. God, I'll never forget my first night at Boonville. Lying out there under the stars. Just laughing at myself at where I'd landed up. I'd been hitting the road for a couple of weeks, but I never really clocked in with anyone till I found myself at Bush Street, among all those crazy, hyped-up kids with their shining ideals and enthusiasm. Okay, it's all a bit over the top, but you can't help but go along with it. I mean, can you? I mean, that first morning at Boonville, waking up to the music, for God's sake, it was just fantastic. Hey, were you any good at playing dodgeball, Susan?
Susan's good at all games.
I was garbage, always the first one to be knocked out. And we used to call our team Father's Fighters. What was yours?
Boonville Busters.
Hey, that's pretty good. Boonville Busters. I like that.
What's dodgeball?
Oh, it's two teams yelling at each other. Bomb with love. Bomb with love. You have to try and hit one of your opponents with a ball. Like this. Come on, Sue. Chuck it back at me. Chuck it back. It's only a pillow. With dodgeball, it really hurt.
You used to have pillow fights with Mark when you were young. Do you remember, Susan?
This man is from Satan, Mum. I'm not even going to listen to him.
Anne, your husband's on the line.
How did he know we were here?
He called Page Street.
You said you wouldn't leave me.
I'm only going next door to speak to your father.
I'll wait in there, too, if you want. You sure you don't want to finish your breakfast?
Satan's food.
Look, Sue, I'd say Father would grant you a special dispensation right now to let you eat all you can. Well, he'd want you in good shape to battle for him, wouldn't he?
You mean the American police from San Francisco? But how did he get your number, Michael?
I expect the Moonies told them. This man wanted to know if Susan had been in touch with us. He said she'd been reported missing. He claimed to be very concerned for her, but he seemed to know you were out there, Anne.
Knows I'm here.
Yes. Either he was just fishing or he checked on your visa. I said I'd no idea where you were and hoped you'd keep in touch. His name's Mattioni, by the way, if that means much to anyone. Inspector Mattioni.
Sounds like we got to get the hell out of here.
Could they have the number of our car?
I doubt it, but I wouldn't advise you to use your own name at the next motel.
Why do you keep looking at your watch, Sue?
She's trying to keep in touch with what her friends are all doing right now. I should know.
Right, Sue?
Surely you can talk to us, Susan.
I told you. I'll talk to you, but only you.
Darling, that's so foolish. They're trying to help you.
You'll have to go home in the end, Mum. I'm sorry for you. You're going to be so hurt.
Well, I've been hurt enough already, and so has your father. There's no more hurt to be had.
Okay. Take her through those first days at Boonville, Morris, and see if you can get a few bells ringing. Ask her about her shadow, the sister who never left her side.
Even when you went to the John, she was right there outside the door, wasn't she, Sue? Just in case you were trying to figure out a few things for yourself in there. And if you asked her any searching questions, she'd just turn on that great big smile of hers and tell you to quit worrying. The only chance you ever had to think for yourself was at night. Only by then you were so flaked out you just clunked it. Only to wake up what seemed like seconds later to the Red Robin girl on her guitar and the order to jump it. Come on, Susan, exercise time. More group games to help you conform. More chanting and community singing. More joining in, more belonging, right?
She's just spacing out, Morris.
All right, recall her first experience of sharing. Those sad little stories about parents that everyone seemed to come up with. Come on, Susan, haven't you got anything you're prepared to share with us?
Yeah, and you sure don't want them to think that you're unfriendly, so you dig something up, however unimportant. And you're just knocked out by that real big fuss they all make of you afterwards.
And soon they're into everything. Why do you feel the need to get away from your family for this long vacation?
Is it you or your mother who wants you to be a teacher?
Why have you never had a regular relationship with a boyfriend? What's wrong with you, for God's sake?
Yeah, and soon they make you feel that your past life is such garbage that maybe it's just not worth going back to. Especially when there's all these lovely, friendly people around, right? Huh? So enthusiastic, so dedicated.
To what? You don't know. But they sure seem to know.
So why not trust them? Give up wondering. Just string along with them. They love you. They'll look after you. They got something going here. Come on, let's join the trip. Sounds great.
Is she listening at all? Wake up, Susan.
She's awake, I guess.
Yeah, flexing her muscles, all ready to run for it just as soon as she gets the chance.
Okay, Susan, that chance is coming up right now as we try to get you into this motel without you being seen.
They won't find Sue such a pushover. She's real smart, Mom.
No, it's you that's smart, honey. I guess it takes real guts to admit you've been made a fool of. Now just snuggle down and get some rest. You know, your father and I are so proud of you and so grateful. Can you go to sleep now?
You going back to the motel now?
Well, unless you'd like me to bed down in here again tonight. Would you? Oh, hey, what's this, honey? Tears?
I'm so sorry for them all. They were my friends. I really did love them. Can't we get them all out, Mom?
Oh, it's good to see you, Esther.
At least you're not behind bars. So, I got here too late to be of help. To Brenna, anyway. Thank God she's pulling through.
That's like bringing somebody back from the dead. And they think we only do it for the money.
Yeah, you look like you've got nothing left in you, Joe.
But she'll need firming up before she's safe.
Oh, she'll have all that with me at the rehab center.
Okay, Mum, so I was wrong to think they'd hurt me. I can see now that Satan works in a much more subtle way. He's even got me to quite like them.
Is that why you won't even look at them when they talk to you? You're afraid, if you do, they might win you over.
Why do you want to do this to me? Can't you see how happy I am in the church?
No, Susan, I can't. It seems to me that happiness in the Moonies is something you put on, like those smiles you all wear to try and make anyone who is unhappy think there must be something wrong with them. You can't really be happy. Getting up at 4 a.m. to do obeisance to that dreadful man. Chris says there's a picture of him in the prayer room and you all kneel down to it to pledge your allegiance.
Well, Wayne is off to the takeaway. Any orders for supper? Susan?
You can tell him that, surely.
I'm not hungry.
Oh, well, she had a good lunch.
You look so much better for the decent food and sleep you've been getting.
That's all you think of, Mum. Why won't you understand? To know that a better world is not just a dream and that it can actually happen, perhaps in my lifetime. Because God has sent someone to bring it about. And I have been asked, me, Sue Swatland, to help him. And all you worry about is whether I'm getting enough food to eat. Of course I'm happy getting up for pledge service. Just to say those beautiful words every day. As the center of the cosmos, I will fulfill my Father's will. I will take upon myself completely the whole creation
yes,
of my
yes,
inheritance.
Yes, well, you don't have to say it now.
Now, pledge service is very important, Anne. It charges the batteries. Without it, who knows what doubts might come creeping in when you're out on the streets trying to con people that Project Volunteer is to feed the poor or help junkies or run church camps for kids. You know, I once made $100 in an hour using that one.
What kind of man of God is it, Susan, that makes you tell such lies for him?
Anyone who gives to the church, even without knowing it, is brought that much nearer to the heavenly kingdom.
Is that how it's justified?
Heavenly deception, it's called. Ends justify means. You know, I figured it out once, that it would take only 1,500 Moonies And there are a lot more than that on the streets every day, each with fundraising goals of $100 a day, which most of us achieved, to make $45 million a year for the church, tax-free. So the top brass ride around in a custom-built Mercedes? You should see how Moon himself lives.
He deserves every cent after what he's suffered for mankind.
He's got more than a few cents.
He's a successful businessman. His personal income doesn't come from us.
So where does the money you make go?
Why shouldn't God have sent somebody today? It's high time, isn't it? The world's only got worse since Christ was here, and you've only got to study history to see he sends someone every 1900 years or so.
According to Moon. Listen, Sue. Maybe tomorrow we could check out that book of his together, The Divine Principle.
Does a Messiah have to ride around on a donkey to be believed?
Perhaps more easily than in a limousine.
Why shouldn't it be true? And how can one even take the risk that it's not?
Of course, Susan. Believe me, I do know how you feel.
You? You'd have been in there trying to deprogram the 12 apostles if the Pharisees had paid you enough.
I like it. That's... Oh. Hey, what's that for? Oh. Susan.
I'm not Susan. Going to talk to you.
Oh, yeah? Is that why you threw that pillow at me? Because you were talking, huh? Oh, well, I'm tired of talking to you right now, you dumb cluck.
Oh, look
take
out.
That.
Look out. Ah. You'll knock the lamp over.
What's going on here?
Oh, it's all right, Wayne. They're just having a pillow fight.
Ah. Hey, oh, you can't have both pillows. Give me that. That's cheating. Quit that. Okay. Okay, Sue. Okay, you win. You win. I surrender. Stop it. You know, Susan, you really smiled then. You smiled with your eyes.
That certainly did me good anyway.
Father, forgive me, forgive me.
Oh,
in true parents' name, I beg you.
What
Heavenly Father,
forgive?
I know how you've suffered. Let me pay my indemnity.
Oh, for God's sake. You know, I'd really like to get to know you, Susan, when you're ready to introduce me sometime.
Come on, Chris. Aren't you getting a bit too involved?
Susan, can't you just let go?
I do love you, Mum. And Dad, truly. Promise me you'll tell him that.
In true parents' name.
I love you both for bringing me into the world so that I had the chance to work for Father. We all love our physical parents for that.
Yes. Yes, well, I'm glad to know we were useful.
Cheer up, for Pete's sake. She's beginning to crack.
I know that. And I remember what hell that was.
I think I'll leave her to herself for a bit. Ah, oh, at least I know she's still there somewhere. To have seen a real smile on her face, just even for a moment. Tomorrow, I'm going to buy her some fresh clothes. For me, too. We can't go on in just what we stand up in.
Oh, what the hell?
Jeez.
Sus!
She's knocked herself out. What were you trying to do, kid?
Susan!
Help me out of the bed with her.
No, she's only stunned.
The window's cracked.
A flying leap at the glass. It's a 10-foot drop out there.
For God's sake, kid.
Well, it won't be long now.
I keep telling you, Mum, I've just got a headache.
You could have killed yourself if you'd gone through that glass last night.
I wish I had.
Susan!
How do you feel this morning?
She says she was trying to kill herself last night.
I wasn't trying to.
Well, we were programmed to self-destruct if we were likely to give in.
And I wasn't giving in.
Oh? Just running away? From us or the doubts you're beginning to have? Look, Susan, I've brought along Moon's book, The Divine Principle. Are you up to going through it with me?
All right. You win. You can take me home, Mum.
Darling.
Hold it. Are you saying you're through with the church?
Yes.
So we don't have to guard you anymore, right? And once outside, you can jump in a cab and head for Bush Street.
If you're not going to believe me...
I'll believe you just as soon as you give me a good reason to.
I'll be next door soon.
What more can I say?
That's up to you. But if you want to get out of here, you tell me what's wrong with the church... And make it stick.
They're not answering.
For
Someone should be there. Even if Brenner's come out by now.
Well, I'll drive over there and see. I don't know. I'm not happy about
this
at all.
Member of the Unification Church.
Janet Morris, I just got something about the Moonies on the radio.
Now, police are looking for another member of the church who was reportedly grabbed by three men and forced into a car on Monday morning as she was walking down Jones Street. She is Susan Swatland of Ashford, Kent, England.
Oh, no.
Police believe that Swatland's abduction is connected to the Steinberg kidnapping.
Does
they
this mean
Swatland
they've got
may have been held for deprogramming at the same residence in Walnut Creek where Brenna Steinberg was found by police officers last night.
Both
young women joined the Moonies last July.
I'll drive over.
And come back in a different car, for God's sake.
Yeah, okay.
I'd better tell Chris.
Not so fast. We really don't want to interrupt him right now. He's our only hope of getting Susan to snap out before the cops get here.
Well, it's true that Moon says some rather odd things at times.
About what?
About taking over governments. Even imagining the day when the President of the United States would bow down to him. Johnny seems to think it's all justified, of course.
But what do you think? Come on, you're not doing badly. Where else have you begun to see through him?
I haven't begun to see through him. As Johnny says, you can't expect the heavenly kingdom to come about without taking power in the world. So, of course, the church needs money. The more we take off the fallen world, the better.
So you were just kidding me.
Father, forgive me for appearing to deny you. It was only so I could go back to the family. Success to your mission,
Susan,
success to the church.
Susan,
victory,
you know that you're only chanting to try and shut out your real self. If you really believed, you'd stand up and fight me, not cower in a corner. Now, let's get to grips with the divine principle, the basis of everything you claim to believe. Have you read it?
I know it's true.
Even if you've never read it?
I've read most of it, but I don't profess to understand it all.
You just take it on trust.
Isn't that what all religion boils down to? Faith? If you're going to ask me questions, I can't answer. That's too bad. We could always write them down, of course, then go along to Bush Street and put them to Noah Ross. He'd be able to give us all the answers.
Okay. That sounds like a pretty good idea.
You mean that?
I'll go further. Promise me there'll be no more chanting, no more shutting yourself off. Promise you'll argue with me like the reasonable human being we both know you are. And after 2 days, if you still want back in the church, I'll drop you off at Bush Street myself. How's that?
Let me go after 2 days?
On the condition that you really talk to me and really listen. Now, is it a deal?
Okay, it's a deal.
They got into Page Street, and someone had left the number of the motel on the telephone pad.
So what's a phone number?
Mrs. Swatland's case was just there on the floor with her name on it.
Oh.
It was her they went to the motel to get. But when they found the Steinbergs there instead, it was, we just want a word with your daughter, ma'am, so we can hear from her own lips that she's not being held against her will.
And the Steinbergs fell for it?
Oh, why not? They thought they were sure enough of Brenner by then. So they bring the police along to see her. Joe had hardly answered the door before he was in handcuffs. Brenner was brought from her room by Matheoni, who wouldn't even let her father speak to her properly. Then he drove off with her. She was half asleep and dazed, the old moony look clicking back into place. And the Steinbergs weren't allowed to see her again. Just her friends, the Moonies, who were allowed to take her back with them. So, you can imagine what Brenner will be saying in court.
They're bringing charges?
Even against the Steinbergs. But at least they've been released. Joe and the others, still locked in a cell.
I've just called Michael. Inspector Matteoni has been on to him again. He said he only wanted to hear from Susan herself that she wasn't being held by force and he'd leave us all alone.
So, they can't be any nearer to us, then.
Shouldn't we move on?
Well, if they got the number of our car, it'd be crazy to put it on the road. How's Chris making out in there?
Think, Susan. Moon doesn't claim the Bible is mistaken and the only true gospel is the divine principle. He always maintains the Bible is the word of God, and you've only got to read it right to see it foreshadows his own ministry. Well, isn't that so?
I suppose so.
Unfortunately, you've never had the chance to check his theory out, because you've never had the real Bible there to check with. Just this one, Moon's version, which you take on trust. Okay, so here's another example of where Moon is claiming that the Bible says something which it clearly does not. He sure is keeping his cool in there. He's given her no hint that we're in any kind of a rush. I guess she doesn't even suspect anyone's looking for her.
But if he hasn't made a breakthrough by tomorrow morning, are we really going to let her go?
Chris will keep his word, Anne.
But if she hasn't come back to us...
She will, or he wouldn't have given his word.
How can he be so sure? It's one hell of a gamble.
No, I know it said that in the Bible. Give it to me. It's just as Moon says. Christ did say that. Look, I'll find it. Chapter 5, he said, doesn't he? Verse, what was it? What verse, Chris? Chris?
Verse 43.
I'll show you he's right about that at any rate.
It's not Marione.
It's the cops. Who cares what their names are?
None of us have used our own names here, have we? And the desk clerk hasn't set eyes on Susan, has he?
What's going on out there? Police? No, no, Wayne. Leave her alone. She's studying the Bible.
Come on. She only has to rap on the window and scream.
She wants to win the fight she's having with me. She's much too sure of herself to have the referee call it off.
Come on, Mayne. Oh, hey, what's going on out there?
Here you are, Chris. Listen. I have come in my father's name and you do not receive me. If another comes in his name, him you will receive. There. Christ did say someone would come after him. What were the police doing here? Have they arrested someone?
Yeah, it looks like it. A couple of Mexicans. Illegal immigrants, I guess.
But they've really gone. It was nothing to do with us after all.
They obviously didn't know we were here, Mum. Well, Chris, admit it. Moon is right about Christ foreseeing his coming. Well, someone's coming anyway.
A false prophet. A con man. That's what Jesus meant.
At least Moon's right about what Jesus said.
Moon is right about a lot of things, Susan. He was right about you, for a start. And me, too, in my time. Moon is one of the few guys around who understands the capacity some of us have to give all we've got and are wanting to do something to make people see that most of what's on offer out there is just a load of garbage. Well, do you want to go back to Bush Street? The cops would have given you a lift if you'd asked them to.
Why should I do that? You said I could go back tomorrow anyway if I chose to.
Sure you can. If you choose to. I guess no one has any objection to you following a Messiah, whoever he is, as long as you've really chosen to, of your own free will. So, what do you choose?
You know something, Chris?
What?
You're really cute.
I guess I've never been called that before.
Mum, couldn't we do better than that takeaway tonight? Couldn't we go out for a meal? A real meal somewhere, the four of us. I'm so hungry.
Oh, darling. Oh, why not?
Gosh, it's lovely, Mum, isn't it? You've got a tennis court too, Esther.
Oh, sure. And a pool. You'll get all the exercise you want. Now, you must come and meet some of the others. That's Rebecca from the Divine Light Mission, reading under that tree. Carol and Greg, playing tennis, were with the Way International for nearly 3 years. Oh, and there's Alan from the Children of God. Come on, you'll really like Alan.
Are you coming, Mum?
I'll catch you up in a minute.
I just hope she thinks that all we have here on this ranch matches up to what she saw at Boonville.
Well, even the cows smile. Oh, I just can't tell you how grateful I am to you, Joe.
I'm just so mad about Brenna.
At least they've let you all go.
Well, we're only out on bail. They've thrown the book at us.
What?
Kidnapping, false imprisonment, conspiracy.
They should pin medals on you.
Well, in this country, ma'am, the First Amendment makes freedom of worship sacrosanct. That's why so many of the cults like to call themselves churches. But Esther and I are in business to try and make people understand that man has another inalienable right, too. The freedom to think.
In April 1981, Susan returned to England, where she subsequently graduated as a teacher. Dr. and Mrs. Steinberg returned to New York. Their daughter Brenna is still with the Unification Church. And Joe Alexander is still awaiting trial on charges of false imprisonment and conspiracy to kidnap. This play was derived from the story as told by Susan and Anne Swatland in their book Escape from the Moonies. The cast was as follows. Susan, Leslie Dunlop. Anne, Jane Wenham. Michael, Jack Watling. Mark, Mark Straker. Joe Alexander, Don Fellows. Esther Alexander, Hilda Schroeder. Brenna Steinberg, Sarah Keller. Mrs. Steinberg, Kate Harper. Casey McCann, Timothy Bateson. Julia, Ellen McIntosh. The Chairman, Michael Bilton. Chris Carlson, Kerry Shale. Noah Ross, William Roberts. Harry Bidulph, William Edel. Johnny, Stuart Milligan. Wayne, Malcolm Ingram. Morris, Bob Sherman. Alice, Helena Breck. And Gary, Alan Polonsky. Other parts were played by members of the cast. All the characters in the play are real people, though the names of some of the minor ones have been changed. Snapping Out was written by Martin Wirth and directed by John Cardy.
And there's a second chance to hear Snapping Out on Monday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Later on tonight, we begin a fascinating new series of overheard conversations in Earwig. You picture our Earwigger now, Mr. Emmanuel, an elderly bachelor having a quiet drink at the bar of his favourite restaurant before dining at a table, carefully positioned to let him tune in to the most entertaining conversation in the restaurant. To help him in his pursuit, he has not only an extra-sensitive hearing aid, but also the devoted help of the head waiter, Jake, who's busy steering tonight's victims into position for Mr. Emmanuel.
Jake, have you seen my wife?
I've taken her inside, sir. I'd get yourself a drink, sir, too, a large one, before you join her. You may need it, sir. You are a stroke late, sir.
Not to worry, Jake. Large scotch on the rocks, George. Not to worry, Jake.
Excuse me, sir, I've a customer. I'm ready for you inside now, sir.
What?
Come on, sir. Your table's ready, sir.
What the devil are you playing at?
This way. Follow me, sir.
That was the mark. The all-American husband.
Oh, I see. Well, you don't have to shout at me as if I'm deaf.
Maybe you've forgotten, sir, but you are supposed to be.
Well, you can hear a most intriguing conversation between the American and his attractive but jealous young wife in Angie, the first episode of Earwig at 11:30 tonight. I'll look ahead to next week, next Sunday, in fact, when we begin a new 6-part serial. Curlew in Autumn is written by Edward Boyd, one of the acknowledged masters of the radio thriller. The story is set in a small town on the southwest coast of Scotland, where lawyer Peter Kalman has an increasingly unprofitable legal practice and an increasingly unhappy private life. Then one evening, a curious message in Gaelic is left on his telephone answering machine, and Kalman is off on a mysterious and murderous trail, bedevilled by shoals of red herrings, as he pieces together a bizarre story that began in the dark days of the 1940s and will end in a cave on the lonely Solway coast. Episode 1 of Curlew in Autumn, our new thriller serial by Edward Boyd, is at 7:02 next Sunday evening. Well, coming up in a moment, the 10 o'clock news, and at 10:15, Murder Hunt, a report by David Scott from BBC Scotland. But now here's the weather forecast for the United Kingdom for Sunday. Southwest Scotland, Northern Ireland, Wales and the west of England should start the day dry and bright with a frost in many sheltered areas. Sunday will be mainly dry with sunny intervals and only a few wintry showers which will clear by evening. Northern and eastern Scotland and eastern England will be rather cloudy with wintry showers and bright periods, but not much sunshine. Southeast England will probably start overcast and brighten later. Central districts of England will start clear, with a frost in places. After a sunny morning, wintry showers will drift in from the northeast, clearing again before dusk. It will be cold again everywhere. And the outlook for Monday and Tuesday, dry and sunny in the west, sunny intervals and wintry showers in the east. It doesn't sound very spring-like at all, I'm afraid. That's the weather, though. Radio 4.
BBC News at 10 o'clock. This is Peter Donaldson. Lancashire miners' leaders have called for a return to work in the area on Monday, but it's not clear to what extent their recommendation will be followed. The Coal Board chairman, Mr. Ian McGregor, has accused extremists within the union of pursuing a political battle instead of acting in the interests of the miners. The former Irish Prime Minister, Mr. Haughey, has called on President Reagan to make Irish reunification a foreign policy priority. The withdrawal of the multinational force from Lebanon is now complete. There's been a bloodless coup in the Central American Republic of Honduras. Today's Grand National was won by Hello Dandy.